when boyhood's fire was in my blood, I read of ancient free men from Greece and Rome who bravely stood, 300 men and free men. And then I prayed I yet might see our fetters rent in twain, and Ireland long a province be, a nation once again, a nation once again, a nation once again. And Ireland long a province be, a nation once again. And from that time through wildest woe, that hope has shone a far light, nor could love's brightest summer glow outshone that solemn starlight. It seemed to watch above my head in forum, field, and fane. Its angel's voice sang round my bed, a nation once again, a nation once again, a nation once again. And Ireland long a province be, a nation once again.
Hi, David McGuffin here, sitting in an outdoor cafe in Dublin, Ireland, trying to put some of the finishing touches on my destination audio guides about the island of Ireland. I look around and I'm in a park area. There's a fountain near me, screaming kids, Starbucks nearby, even a modern 21st century mall just around the corner. And so I look and see a lot of influences of the Irish and a lot of influences of the English all around me. So this discussion today is a little bit about Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland. So almost 400 years ago, Protestant settlers from England and Scotland were strategically planted in Catholic Ireland to help assimilate the island into the British economy. So in other words, the English moved in and took over the island and dubbed it as a part of the British Isles. These Protestant settlers established their own culture here on the island, and they laid claim to some of the most fertile lands. But as a result, the poorer Catholic Irish were the underdogs, and they were pushed to some of the worst lands on the island. The indigenous Catholic Irish held strong to their Gaelic culture on their ever-diminishing boggy and rocky farmlands. Over the last four centuries, British rule hasn't been very easy. By the beginning of the 20th century, the sparse Protestant population could no longer control the entire island. So when Ireland won its independence in 1921, 26 of Ireland's 32 counties became the Irish Free State, ruled from Dublin, with dominion status in the British Commonwealth, similar to that given to Canada. Then, in 1949, these 26 counties left the Commonwealth and became the Republic of Ireland, severing all political ties with Britain. Meanwhile, the six remaining northeastern counties, these were the only ones with a Protestant majority, they chose not to join the Irish Free State and chose to remain a part of the UK. But now here's where the trouble begins, because embedded within these six counties that were now joined as a political entity with the UK and called Northern Ireland was a large Catholic minority who felt they had been sold down the river by the drawing of the new international border. Now, listen up here. Here's some important vocabulary words coming up that tells you the differences between Northern Ireland and the Republic, or the Protestants and the Catholics. Situated in these six counties was a huge collection of Protestants known as Unionists who were eager to defend the Union with Britain. They were primarily led by two different groups, the long-established Orange Order and the military muscle of the newly mobilized Ulster Volunteer Force. This was counteracted on the Catholic side by the Irish Republican Army, the IRA, who wanted all 32 of Ireland's counties to be united in one Irish nation. Their political goals were to be nationalist. When World War II broke out, the Republic stayed neutral while the North enthusiastically supported the Allied cause. After the war, the split between the North and the South seemed permanent, and Britain invested heavily in Northern Ireland to bring it solidly into the UK fold. Now, conversely, in the Republic of Ireland, where 94% of the population was Catholic and only 6% Protestant, there was a clearly dominant majority. But in Northern Ireland, there was a sizable 35% of the population who were Catholics, and that was enough to demand some attention. In order to maintain this status quo, Protestants considered certain forms of anti-Catholic discrimination to be a necessity. It was this discrimination that led to what we know as the Troubles, the conflict that filled the headlines from the late 1960s to the late 1990s. Now, way back in the 15 and 1600s, during the Reformation, this would have been a fight over Protestant and Catholic religious differences. But over the current last 100 years, the difference is not so much about Catholic and Protestant as it is about politics. Well, activities beginning to pick up here at this outdoor venue. Music started, people coming out for lunch, and it's getting kind of noisy. So I'm going to end it here, and we'll talk about the other divisions between the North and the South, the Irish Republic, and Northern Ireland as we progress to the tour. I hope you enjoy this and get a little bit of the background before you visit Northern Ireland. Your adventure starts right here with David McGuffin's Exploring Europe.